Welcome back.
Good morning.
Sorry that we missed a week.
Yeah, that was all because of me. I was sick.
Very sick.
Sick.
This is Trisha.
And I am Evangelist Lori N. And we are just
kicking it with Jesus.
God bless you guys. I pray everybody's having a good couple weeks, good couple days. So, I know that we're probably going to touch on a few things tonight because it's just normally what we do. We wouldn't be us if we didn't. But, you know, I wanted to kind of touch base because everything is very raw and very real for me right now in my life. And I can be honest because there's really, I'm pretty sure there's nobody in my family that, my immediate family, that listens to the podcast. So...
Let's keep it real, though, because people have already told us that, somebody already told me that you guys are very honest on that podcast.
Amen.
So,
I have been a Christian for a long time, 20 plus years. And when I say Christian, I mean I really do try to live pleasing to Jesus and Jesus alone. I mean, I know that I get it jacked up along the way. I know I do. And, you know, I didn't realize until recently, hold me accountable if I go off the beaten path.
Whoa.
Right. I didn't realize until recently how Jesus Christ works in his children that he loves until recently. So the last 4 days, because it started the beginning of this week, the last 4 days I've done nothing but cry. And I'm not talking just I'm talking boohoo cry. Lost and trying to figure out and wrestling with Jesus. Crying out, like, Father, I can't even pray. If I start crying, I'm sorry. I can't pray. What is the matter with me? And I know that you're not supposed to feel, like, you're not supposed to go off of what you feel.
Right.
You're supposed to go off of your faith, and I get that. I know God's word when it says, I never leave you nor forsake you. But if I can be as real as I can be, there are moments in Christians' lives where you feel utterly alone.
Yeah.
And you feel as if God has left. You can't feel him. You can't hear him. You're reading. You're doing all the things that God tells you you're to do that makes you abide.
Right.
And you're like, hello?
And it's like an echo.
It really is.
Like, coming back.
Like the heavens are made of brass.
Right.
And so, you know, early on in my walk with God, Jesus took from me, I would suppose, the things that would hinder me from drawing close to him. Having to forgive those that sexually violated me when I was a child, when I was young. Those were the things, the nugget things, that Jesus went for. And through the years, just different things. Now, Trish, you know, I've heard you through the years, your trauma, and I've heard these things through with different people, even ministering to people through their trauma. I'm straight until this week. And I think it started last week, honestly. Didn't even, it was just something that God put in my heart. And I said to my husband, your dad, the only one that ever wanted me was Jesus. Your dad didn't want me, I wanted him. Yeah. And it was just something in passing that I said.
Right.
Okay.
So, you say it's something in passing, but it's obviously something deep inside you.
But I didn't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I really didn't. It was just something that it really dawned on me.
Right.
Jesus Christ literally,
yeah,
wrapped me up and pulled me close to him. And so now, fast forward, that was last week. This week, and I am crying and just feeling empty and knowing in my mind that the word says, I never leave you nor forsake you. But Father, what is this? What? And it wasn't until today that the Lord revealed what was wrong. I was abandoned. My dad left and would take my dad, but didn't take me.
Take your brother? Not take you.
I'm sorry. And I was 15, trying to, even though I was mature, I was really trying to maneuver. My mother and father were had literally just gotten divorced. My mom was trying to cope with pain. I was trying to, there's a lot to the story, but I was trying to maneuver through my own pain. And because of that, I was very rebellious. My mother said, if you can't live by my rules, you need to get out of my house. So I left. And I did what I had to do to survive. And I'm going to be as transparent as I can be. So, Trisha, I realized today that when you feel like nobody wants you, especially those
that are supposed to,
that conceived you, so to speak, I'm like, what? Because my trust issues have fallen upon my husband. And that isn't okay. 34 years later, it's not okay. And so I sat here today just talking to the Lord and saying, I mean, I've Jezebeled even my walk with God, manipulating, and I said to Jesus, okay, so you're putting a spotlight on this. This is something you want to heal within me. I do not want to go to my parents. I do not want to do it, because they're both elderly. My father has Alzheimer's. I don't want to do that. He probably wouldn't remember anyway, and I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to hurt my mom. She's elderly too. What is that going to do? except hurt them. I don't want to do that. And so out loud, with tears, feeling broken, and I know that you understand, I feel broken inside. I'm 53 years old. That it should not be. But I feel like I cannot move forward until I get to this place with Jesus where I am giving you me, and I need for you to heal this part of my life because I didn't even know it was there. And so I just said to him, I do not want to confront them because I don't feel like it will. I don't need their sorry. I don't need their, because they were going through at the same time. So I said, I'm going to give you my heart and I need for you to heal it. I release them. And I forgive them. And when I say that I forgive them, I really do. Because at that time, you know, I was a 15-year-old kid trying to survive and live. And I'm not saying that it was okay for what they did. I'm not. But I also know that my mother through the years has apologized to me for different things, things that I didn't even remember she did. But she lives in a pool of regret herself. My dad, I'm sure he does too. He just can't even remember most of it. And so, you know, I say all that to say, plus years of being a Christian. And I think people think that because you're a Christian and because you walk with Jesus and because you go to church and because you're a pastor or because you're whatever, that there's nothing there. You're good. Jesus got you. And Jesus will always, because there's a lifetime of brokenness within the heart of people. And I think if we were to be honest, I mean, for real, honest, Jesus will show. He'll shine the light. I didn't know that that was there. I did not know that that was there. Me and my mom, it's only now that we're close. My dad, I think when he got sick. So, you know, Trisha, I really feel like there's so many people that look at Christian people and make a judgment call off of what you think a Christian is supposed to be or not supposed to be. That we're supposed to have our lives together and everything is supposed to be okay. And it really is just not. It really is just not. And so I really feel like, you know, if we allow Jesus permission to us in mind, body, and soul, he's going to take that which is broken because we belong to him. And he's going to mend us his way and not ours. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So, I know I just went blah, 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 blah,
blah. I just feel like I can relate so much to all of it. And, you know, a lot of people got mad at me, but November of 2020, Jesus said, write it all down. and a notebook and release it and sit with them and tell them. Not in a hateful way, not in an aggressive way. This is me. This is what I've been through, and this is what happened because of. And because I did that, I didn't want to do that. In 36 years, I wasn't 36 at that point, because that was 4 years ago. But in 32 years of my life, I never had my mom, my dad, my sister, and my brother all sit down and have a conversation. 32 years. That's never happened.
Mm.
And it was the hardest thing that I've ever had to do. But I know what Jesus said. And because I did it, it may have taken 3 years to feel a little bit better, because, you know, there's other things that had to have happened as well. Another conversation with my mom and stuff. But because I released those things inside of me, not in an accusing way or,
right. But
you release it, I have been able to grow, you know?
Yeah, I do. Because there's just so many times where I don't even think that I ever, like, I knew what happened to me.
Right.
Dad didn't want me. My mom was like, and I just always blamed me. But because I was 15. Because
that's what kids do. I mean, and I
but people, I want to say this. I do want to say this, because I say all that to say, to verbally say it out loud and then sit in it and not allow the Holy Spirit, because he is a him, he's not a thing.
Right.
If you do not allow him, Holy Spirit, to heal you,
right. Then
everything that you are doing is in vain.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There is a healing that now, and I felt it when I spoke it out loud. I was looking out the window up at the sky a little while ago. And I'm telling you, I have done nothing but cry all week. But it wasn't until today. So the heavens were quiet for 3 days. But now it's time for me to heal.
Mm. Right.
And neither one of them know. And their journey has to be just that, theirs.
Right.
You, mom, you feel guilty about stuff, but you need to go to him, Holy Spirit, and seek out healing now.
Right.
Release it to Jesus and let him heal you. Because that's why I believe with all of my heart that when Jesus shines the light within, and that's you, me, whoever's listening, when Jesus starts to shine a light on the things that you haven't had to endure, or the thoughts that you have and the pain that comes up, it wells up within you. It's because Jesus wants to heal you. He wants you to be released from that because he loves you.
Right.
Right?
Right. And I think that everyone's healing is different.
Come on.
Like, not necessarily do you need to go say something to your parents or whoever's listening. They need to go say whoever hurt you. Maybe it's, for me, that's how the healing was. Like, I had to verbally, because I think it's because I shoved everything down my whole life.
Right.
And I never, like, when I started expressing how I truly felt, it was a shock to everybody. Like, wait, what? You feel that way? Like, I would have never thought, because your whole life was, yeah, it was a lie, is what you mean. Because I never showed my true feelings. I never expressed who I truly was, because I shoved everything down. Mm. Because my plan, it's funny how we think we have one. My plan was to turn 18 and move away from everybody. I didn't want to be around you and my dad, my mom and my stepfather, my sister and brother. Like, I didn't want to be around any of them. I just wanted to leave. I didn't want to deal with it. And that wasn't That's not how Jesus wanted that to go.
Mm-hmm.
But my healing and the way I had to heal through it also opened up others to start digging in, to figuring out why they are the way they are. So it's maybe your journey is that. Like, you had to recognize, because everything that goes on in our body subconsciously, we know. We just don't consciously know. So we could feel depressed, but consciously we're happy all the time, but something is inside of us because it's something that happened to us that our brain is protecting us from remembering.
Right.
So I don't know. I just think that everybody's healing is different, but you are right, because you can't just go through that healing. You can't just acknowledge it, but then not ask the Holy Spirit to come in and bandage you up. Not right. even bandage you up, sew you up. Because you're taking that piece of what was damaged and ripping it out. You're not putting a Band-Aid over it. You're sewing that hole up. And the only person that can do that is the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it doesn't happen overnight.
No, I know. You know, I really do find it unbelievable how, and beautiful. I mean, it was, please don't misunderstand. I mean, I've been with your dad for years, 30 plus years, and he has received how he stayed. I don't know. And I stopped and I really thought today, as I'm in this whirlwind with Jesus, how come you just didn't shine a light on this earlier? I mean, I've been saved, Lord, for a long time. Why now? Why now? Why not 15 years ago? And so I just really feel like, and I so can't stress it enough, no matter how long you are saved for, you still have mommy clothes.
Right.
And he still is unraveling you.
You will until the day you die.
Till the day that you die. And I just am so...
Because I mean, think don't... about it, though. If he did do it all, like we were saying before this, like before we started, like if God just acted as if he was a genie.
Come on.
And just everything is fixed, would you still be there? No. Like, we live in a world that's broken. Our body's broken. Our minds are broken. Like, we're just on the way to death. The moment we are born, we're on the way to death. We need to continuously be in tune with Jesus. And if he just fixes us with everything, like there's certain things, like you said in the beginning, that he just took out and you are okay with. But there's things that he allows to stay. There's things that he doesn't even let you know that you had a problem with, and then 20 years later you know now, you know what I mean?
Want to know how, not that I figured it out, I didn't, so I had no part in it, except I know, being a Christian, certain things that we go through, sometimes we are our own cause. Right? So if you drink a lot, well, your kidneys, your liver, things start to break down. Okay. So I've been sick for years, and it's like this thing plays peekaboo.
Right.
And so I said to the Lord, you know, if I've got a demon inside, like dodging the doctors, like because I have sin. This is how it all started. I need for you to shine a light. Well, unforgiveness,
right? Wow.
Is attached to a whole lot of things. I didn't know I had unforgiveness. I really did not.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, and I just, sometimes, you know, somebody passes away that you love so, so dearly, and you don't mean to, but now you're just mad at God. And God gets the, and you wouldn't know it because you're still going to church. You're still, right. You know what I mean? Right. But a lot of times that, and so that's how it all began. I'm sick. This is what my prayer was. And this is what he did. All within 4 days. And, you know, I wasn't playing. I wasn't playing this week. Like, I need for you to do something now. Right. I am just, I'm done. See my heart. And he shined a light. There's unforgiveness within. But I didn't even know it was there. Well, let's deal with it.
It's because, like we, like I was saying too, it's like we live in a broken world. We live where our bodies are constantly dying, and when we're born into sin, and we're born into sinful people.
Come on,
right? And like my parents split when I was like 4 months old or whatever. Obviously, I know that neither one of them intentionally did anything to harm me, but because they were in their late 20s, early 30s, they also didn't deal with their problems when they were young. Like every single person on the face of this earth, I don't care if you have good parents or bad parents, every single person on the face of this earth is going to have some kind of trauma.
Come on.
Because our nervous system just does that. It doesn't have to be sexual trauma. It could be anything. Trauma can happen because we're our own unique person.
Come on.
And if we don't deal, and I never even thought about it like, oh, you had unforgiveness because you weren't mad at them. You were mad at them, obviously, right? When you were younger. But as an older adult, you understand the right. situation. Like as me, as an adult, like I understand even now, like the mental stability, the capacity for when they were younger and what they were going through.
Right.
You know? But you also still do have to forgive.
Right.
And you still have to feel what it was that you felt then to be able to process it through your body. Because if you... One thing I've always learned... I have been learning about your emotions is that every single emotion we receive, if we don't process it through our body, it stores in our body. If you are angry and you just shove that anger down like I did for so many years, well, it's going to keep coming up
right.
until you teach your body to go through the whole wave and let it release out, and then it's out of your body. Sadness, happiness, all of that.
Right.
You have to feel it. And my thing is none of us are taught how to feel it. So that's how, like, with me, with Jesus, like, anger is one of the things that is really hard for me. I have to keep telling, okay, Jesus, I feel angry right now, and you have to show me how to get it out. How to help me release this out of my body. Because I can't, if I shut down, I'm gonna fester, and it's gonna fester, and I'm gonna just keep being angry. I'm gonna keep thinking about it, and you don't want me to do that. So help me figure out how to get through it. And every single time I say that, put worship music on.
I think, Trisha, but that, see that, like I said, so living out, I'm 15 years old, I have nowhere to go.
Right.
I got to learn how to survive on the street, okay? I do, but along with that comes different attributes.
Right.
Like, learning how to make you feel bad for me to help me.
Right.
Carry that into adulthood. You don't mean to, but that's an attribute that you learned.
Right.
And you're just carrying this thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so Jesus showed me there's certain things, though, I need to crucify in your life. And as I show you them, I want you to give them to me.
Yes.
Out loud. And so, and with that, I need you to out loud. And this is what he said. I'm not asking you to feel anything. I'm asking you to be obedient to what I'm saying. Mm. Father, I forgive them. And release them. If I have to say it 5 times, because it just keeps coming back, 5 times I have to say it out loud. Mm-hmm. Because I know, I don't know if you hear me wheezing. But
I was just going to say, what is that noise?
That's me.
That I'm doesn't sorry. Sound good.
See what I'm saying, though? It's just been constant, and it gets worse. It's awful. And I refuse to take prednisone. I refuse it. So, but I just feel, Trisha, that now I'm in this process, but I also know that there's more to this. Because, again, it just happened
right.
today.
Right.
So there, and I know that there's more to it. But like I said to the Lord, if he had said to me, I want you to confront them, I would. But I said to him, I don't want to. I don't feel as if it will do any good.
Right.
To the both of them. My father's 73, my mother's 70. You know what I mean? I just... Right.
But it's like the Bible says, how many times do we need to forgive? And Jesus.
Forever and ever
and
ever.
And I think that, like, and I, you know, people make jokes like, oh, 70 times 7, like, what about, you know, 42 times? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
At that. But it's like, I think what he means by that is every single time it comes into your Come brain on. And you start feeling that frustration and that aggravation, that sadness, that is every time you need to forgive.
Exactly.
Every time you feel it.
Exactly. Yes.
Absolutely. And I always tried to figure out, well, like, how do I release it? You don't. Because every time you feel it again, you release it again.
Right.
And until one day, you don't have that thought anymore.
That. And that's the truth. Because at that point, you're going to know.
Right.
When you go, wait.
I haven't thought about that.
And then you're like,
when's the
you
last
healed
time?
Me?
Right, right.
You know?
I'm a new woman.
I'm ready, Lord.
Take me home.
You know, I just, but I am going to say, it hurt coming face to face with that, you know.
It does hurt.
And I'm trying really hard to keep my composure here. But I think if when you come to the Lord, he will never leave you the same.
That's good.
He'll never leave you the same that he found you. He's always working, whether or not we see it, whether or not we feel it. He's always working. And he loves us so much that he sees something in us that we'll never, ever see in ourselves. Ever. I don't deserve not a lick of anything that he's ever given me. And yet I sit here and you see fit after all these years to love me enough to heal me when I didn't even know I was broken.
Right.
Again, he was the only one that ever wanted me. That's why I didn't know that's
right.
I didn't know he was preparing me. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I really do.
I did not know he was preparing me.
I think that's why, like, the point is, me and my cousin were talking about this today, about telling people about Jesus, or, like, we just need to tell people about Jesus. No matter what sin they're in, no matter what they're doing with their life, We just need to tell them Jesus and then allow Jesus to walk their journey with them. Because at some point, whatever sin it is that they're doing, he's gonna be the one to say, hey, let's not do that anymore. Whatever it is. And it's not us, up to us. But we need to tell people our story with Jesus and how he rescued us.
Right.
And how much he loves all of us. Like every single person on the earth.
Right. You know, I think, Trisha, when... when we get to the place of healing, whatever it may be, like for me, the beginning was when Jesus healed me from the sexual abuse. I mean, that really, the sting of it is completely gone. And there's been certain things through the years, but now this, and with this comes, you know, it sounds stupid, but just hear me. So because my mother was going through a pool of pain because of my dad having an affair, but he's not telling her, and he's making her feel like she's losing her mind, who's taking care of the other kid?
Right.
The younger sibling of mine. Me. Fast forward to now I'm married. And my husband finally gets to a place after years of saying to me, you're not his mother. Stop taking care of him. He's a grown man. And it dawns on me, because at first I was like, shut up. That's my brother. Like, what do you mean?
Because it was second nature to you.
It was. Until it dawns on me and Jesus shines a spotlight. And again, I'm saved. You are his mom. And you have been for a long time. Back away.
Mm.
That was one of the hardest things I had had to do. Was let God be God for my brother. And again, he was a grown man. And so I think that throughout people's walks with God, no matter where you are, wherever you find yourself, if you're allowing him to shine lights on you, he's going to stretch you.
Right. And I mean, like, our goal is every single day is to die to ourselves. That's what it should be.
That's what he calls us to do.
So one of two of my prayers on my prayer wall in my closet, one of them is to very blatantly bring to my mind what happened to me when I was a kid. Like, I know that it's there. I know that it's in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But my brain is not allowing me to remember it. And I know that he will someday. I just must not be ready for it. And I feel like I know why, but... And the other one is what happened to me when I was drugged. Like, I want to remember that. And I think that we need to consistently ask so that we can heal. Because I can't fully heal from my childhood until I know everything that has gone on, you know?
That's so funny you say this. Not funny, but... So, I have two girlfriends that I consider best friends. And one of them, for years, just the different things that she's gone through, different things that she's done, and I know what I see when I see it. I know my God's voice when I hear it. And I would ask her, did anything like this or this ever happen? No, not that I can remember. Okay. And I really, Trisha, I feel as if, now that I'm ready to say this, She messages me. If you have a minute, can you call me? So I call her. I FaceTime her. Because I love to see people's faces when we're talking. And a face speaks thousands of words.
Mm.
And she said, out of nowhere, God showed me what happened to me when I was a kid. And she told me. And I feel, you know, now that I'm talking about this right now, I feel like maybe, Trisha, this is a season where Jesus needs to heal his people, if you allow him to, for reasons that we have yet to know why. Why? She's 40 plus years, and God just told her why things happen without saying what.
Right.
And
I think that I need to, because I'm not fully, you know, I'm not there. And I don't know in your healing journey if you ever are there, fully healed on the other side. I think it's always just a lifelong learning.
Healing, when I say healing, the sting of all of it.
Right.
It's no longer, I'm not holding you in captivity.
See, for me, I don't even know what I'm holding. It's like a blank slate and blank spot in my brain. And I need to know why. There's two things that are blank. Like when I made the choice to move to Florida and I made the choice to go and drink, all I remember is walking into that house, standing in that corner of that kitchen and taking a shot of tequila. The next memory I have is waking up in a bed, naked. The next morning, in pain. So those are the holes that I'm talking about.
Mm.
I need to know what happened.
Mm.
I need to know. That's one of the ones that, like, I need you to show me what happened. But I also need to know what happened to me when I was a kid. Because there's certain feelings inside my body, especially, like, with my kids growing up and stuff, that I will, like, think in my head certain things. And I'm like, why do I think that? There's reasons why I have these emotions of I don't want her to go to these houses, or I don't want her to do that because I'm nervous for her. Why am I nervous for her? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I need to know, but I don't think I'm ready to know what happened to me when I was a kid. And I think that Jesus is so loving that he knows when we're ready.
Yeah.
But those are two of my prayers. I am ready to know what happened to me when I was in Florida. I do need to know that. But we need to never forget that we need to always seek Jesus every day.
Every day.
Never over. It's never going to be over until the day we're in heaven.
Right.
Like, we need to seek him every day. Like, even, like, through this parenting journey, like, and we got to wrap up, but even through this parenting journey, I don't want to be, like, I'm doing this 30-day challenge, and today's day 29, and it says, like, or a couple days ago, it said, what do you want your kids, no, I think it was today, what do you want your kids to remember their childhood as, or remember you as when they were kids? And that's a big thing for me, is like what my kids are going to say when they're older about their childhood. And I know the type of person that I am. Impatient, you know, like every day when Octavia wakes up at 5:30 in the morning and lays in her bed and says, Mom, open the door, it's morning time. I walk down that hallway like, okay, Jesus, today is the day that you're going to help me today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do it today. And then at 8:00 at night when I shut the door and I'm like, well, that was a whirlwind. You know?
I do.
Like, I need Jesus every single day of every minute of every day, because I can't do this by myself. Like, this parenting thing, I can't do.
You can, and you're good at it.
But I can't do it alone, is what I mean by that.
Absolutely. Like, life in general, you cannot do without Jesus. And when we think that we can and we try, even with Jesus, it's hard. Even with Jesus, you still have regrets.
Right.
Even with Jesus, trying every day to be the best version of Christianity that you can possibly be, you still get to a point in your life where you wish that you could go back and do it, have a redo.
Right.
You can't. There'll always be I wish I could have. As long as you know that you tried, that really is what I think matters, Trish.
I think it is. I think that, like, you as a parent need to put your kid first and figure out your crap. I think it's important that you figure out you. Because none of us learned none of us learned anything. I'm sorry. That's how I feel. And I feel like it's our responsibility to make sure that we learn how to heal from our past, because we all have something to heal from, and how we can reparent ourselves with the knowledge that we have now available. And my biggest thing is I want my kids to know that I want them to know when life is hard, who to go to. And the only way that they're gonna know that is because they saw me do it, not because I told them it.
Right. That as they watch you, as you sit in a table with your Bible and it's open, but you're crying and you're talking to him, and Octavia comes in, mommy, who are you talking to? Jesus, as tears are flowing down your face. She's going to get that, and that will be etched within her, because I can remember my aunt. And so, you know, I don't know, Trisha. I'm going to say, and I'll continue to say it, broken people made of mud can never heal another broken person made of mud. Mm-hmm. The only person that can heal the mud is the one that made the mud in the first place.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And so we always, you know, wisdom, I hate this saying. I do, I hate it. But wisdom, you get wisdom as you live.
You do.
And the older you become,
the more wise. I mean,
in God,
your brain isn't even fully developed until you're between 25 and 30. Your brain. Now, if your brain isn't fully developed...
Is that for a dude too? Because yeah, I don't think
I'm
so.
I'm like 50 for a dude. No, but your prefrontal cortex, I think that's what it is, the front of your brain, isn't fully developed. And that's your logical, your thinking, like to make decisions, your rational. That's not fully developed until at least 30. 25 to 30. And that's saying you had good upbringing. You had parents that were caring and they were there when you were little and they nurtured you when you had upsets and they taught you how. That's saying that you did all that, you got all that, then your brain is fully developed by then. So if our brains aren't fully developed until we're 30, then obviously we're going to need to keep, you know?
Can I just throw something in there? For 1 second. Even kids. A mama will say, God has given me this child. This child's mine. Well, the child eventually is going to be at an age where the child's going to decide. And the child leaves.
Mm-hmm. They all do.
And then you're like, you abandoned me too. And that's a hard thing too, Trisha.
That's why it's so important to heal from your past. Before, one, I think it's important to heal, and we really do got to wrap up, but it's really important to heal from your past before you have kids. Before you have kids, but you don't even know.
Yeah, but see, we don't even know. Live in a life. We don't right. even, right.
If but I didn't can't... even know until I had kids.
That.
The pain that I had from when I was a kid, I didn't even know that until I had kids because I was suppressing it so much. Never knew I had such problems from my upbringing. I knew with my dad and stuff because my dad wasn't around.
See?
I didn't know that until I had kids. But now I'm going to work my butt off to heal what I... Because I have an abandonment issues too. You don't think that I feel like no one's ever wanted me? I just said this to God maybe a month ago.
Oh, get ready because you're about to go a whole other way now.
Trust me. I've said it.
He's shown you now? Uh-oh. Here we go.
I have always felt that way. But I know, and I said it to him, but I know that I'm not alone. I know that I'm not alone because I know that you're standing right here. So I don't want to feel alone.
Right.
So help me not feel alone because I know that's the enemy. Because right. I know I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone because I have my family, my immediate family and my household there. So I think that we need to heal where we are and who we are from what we were back in our childhood. Because when our children do grow up and leave, because that is the point of children. They're going to grow up, leave, and have their own family. That is the point. We're supposed to raise them so that they can go into the world and have their own families right. and do that. But how do we avoid feeling that empty nester, right? That's like the biggest thing with people,
I think
you know?
It's when I said that, because I feel like there are some people that listen that are not, maybe they just got saved, or maybe they're wondering, maybe things like this are happening in their life, and maybe their child did leave.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe they did leave, and you know, now they're in a whirlwind, like alone. So, you know,
we got some big dogs over here. So
yeah, I
we're
do.
Just
I have
around
I
have... the studio here with our dogs.
Sorry.
Anyway, we'll wrap it up now, but
yeah. So let's pray for Holy Father. We thank you so much and we give you praise. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be in the midst of healing, Father, those that are broken. Father, I give you my heart. I pray, Jesus, that you would touch your people and bring glory to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, that was a good episode. Sorry about the dogs barking, but if you've seen them, you'd say they're so cute and lovable. Those
big Rottweilers.
Big Rottweilers. Anyway, until next time.
We are just
kicking it with Jesus.
God bless you.